One of the most charming drama series airing on public TV takes place in a simple village, a fishing village on the Cornish coast of the south of England. Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, the star of Doc Martin tells us what it's like to make his TV series on location, where some of his American fans might even get to be an extra in a scene. But first, it's 70 years now since the Nazis systematically looted the art and treasures of churches, museums, and Jewish families in Europe. Many of the famous artworks that we stand in line to see today wouldn't be there if it weren't for the courageous work of a handful of unlikely soldiers known as the Monuments Men. Robert Edsel has written about them in his books, The Monuments Men, Rescuing Da Vinci, and Saving Italy. He returns to Travel with Rick Steves today with Grant Heslov. Grant is a production partner of George Clooney. They shared the Oscar for Best Picture with the movie Argo in 2013, and now they've made a movie of The Monuments Men. It appears in theaters starting February 7th.
Monuments Men Radio is about to go live.
Calling London and all ships at sea.
We read you loud and clear.
You know, this new movie is going to introduce a lot of people to a topic that they probably never even occurred to them. Robert, tell us about The Monuments Men. Who were they and why should we know about them?
This is a group of men and women, museum directors, curators, art historians, artists themselves, many educators, average age about 40, the most unlikely of soldiers who walked away from having life made to volunteer to be a new kind of soldier, one charged with saving rather than destroying. There were only a handful of them in Italy and in Northern Europe, charged with initially trying to protect monuments and structures from damage by Allied bombing, hence the name Monuments Men. But very quickly, they were on the hunt for the millions of cultural objects stolen by Adolf Hitler and the Nazis in what became the greatest treasure hunt in history, ultimately finding so many of these things and getting them back to the countries from which they were stolen.
Why does this matter today?
Well, we watched, I think with horror, the aftermath of the looting of the National Museum of Iraq in Baghdad in 2003 when there weren't monuments officers, and it was overlooked trying to protect the cultural treasures of that great civilization. You know, so many of the churches, museums we visit today throughout Europe have the great things that we go to see because of the work of the Monuments Men, and museums throughout the United States have works of art that were found in some salt mine or a cave by the monuments officers and restituted after the war and then some point in time sold and found their way to museums in this country. So the fingerprint of these remarkable men and women who risked their lives, two of whom were killed during combat, impacts the cultural world we enjoy today, and I think we owe them a great debt of gratitude, and it's a tremendous debt of gratitude we're all going to owe Grant and George Clooney and the remarkable cast they've assembled for this tremendous film, which is going to make the story accessible to people all over the world.
Now, Grant Heslov, tell us about this amazing cast that you've assembled for the movie.
Well, we have George, who, you know, also directed the film, and we co-wrote it. And obviously,
George Clooney,
yep.
Right.
And Matt Damon, and Bill Murray, and Cate Blanchett. It's just a terrific cast.
Now, when you have a group of soldiers, usually they're tough young guys, but this is not your typical group of soldiers. What, Matt Damon's the youngest. He's in his 40s.
That's right. That was what was so appealing to us, was the idea of doing a film not only that resonated to us in terms of what's happened with all of this looted art, but also the idea that, you know, it's a little bit of the gang who couldn't shoot straight in terms of these guys. And, you know, it's fun to see George and Bill and Bob Balaban, Jean Dujardin play these kind of fish out of water roles.
Were you inspired, Grant, by any of the historical characters in particular? Give us an example of how fun it was for you putting this together to bring some of these historical characters to life.
All these characters are inspired by historical characters, the characters that, you know, Robert wrote in such detail in his book. Some of them are combinations. You know, what you often have to do is, because there were hundreds of Monuments Men, and, you know, obviously we couldn't tell that story. So we really focused on seven that we thought would best tell the story. The real-life character that George is based on is probably the closest in terms of what we stuck to. And he is actually very similar to George in a lot of ways. And if you see a picture of him, you'll be shocked by how much they look alike.
Robert, you talked about how this was the greatest theft in history, followed by the greatest treasure hunt in history. Give us a little example. What exactly was going on? What were the Nazis up to, and what was their sort of modus operandi?
Well, I tell this in Saving Italy in really great detail, and it's research that has evolved here in just the last few years. I mean, Adolf Hitler makes this first formal state visit to Italy in 1938, and he stops in Rome, but he spends 10 hours in Florence on his way out of the country, the last 10 hours of his five-day journey. And he allocates 2 of those hours to walk through the Uffizi Museum and the Pitti Palace, walking across the Vasari Corridor. And it's there, seeing these great collections of the Medicis, where he realizes what's possible. And he goes back to Germany and begins plans for this Führer Museum, what's going to be one of the world's great museums. It's going to house some of the works that he believes are some of the greatest pictures, sculpture, and other things. Museum directors and curators from Germany start visiting these countries that are going to be invaded, making lists of works of art that are going to be stolen concurrent with the invasions. And it begins a premeditated looting like we've never seen before, just part of this cultural legacy that we're left with today.
Well, it is an amazing thing to think that Hitler, tyrant that he was, trying to exterminate the Jewish race, was also right in the forefront of his thinking, assembling this museum. It was going to be in his the town where he was born and grew up, Linz, right?
Well, that's right. And I think Grant and George and their script and the wonderful acting of this really dedicated group of artists have brought to life this dramatic plot of Hitler to not only steal these things and have them go to his museum, but the great trauma in the closing days of the war, a period I refer to as the void, where Nazi Germany's not in control anymore, but the Allies are not in control yet. Hmm. And the great danger to these works of art that are hidden in salt mines and caves and castles, too real to believe, but there we are with the story, is that Nazi fanatics are determined to execute this Nero order, this order that Hitler has issued to destroy the infrastructure of the country, but they've interpreted it to mean also works of art that he had destined for his collection. And it's this race against time that the Allies, the Monuments Men in particular, are faced with to try and find these works of art and save them from complete destruction.
Also the idea and the irony, the idea that, you know, Hitler at first is a failed artist, and that in a certain way it comes full circle. He also, you know, fancies himself as the sort of great arbiter of art and what is the right kind of art. You know, they destroyed so much art and sold off so much of the pieces that, you know, would boggle the mind. And then at the end, as Robert says, he writes this decree that in the end could destroy all of the great art that he was trying to steal.
That's incredible. I mean, you know about his crazed, we're going to bring Berlin down to rubble and fight to the last man, but he actually specifically said, and will destroy the art too. I mean, there was actually a danger of his guys going into these caves with flamethrowers and just destroying all those beautiful canvases.
Well, that did take place in some areas. The order did not specify art, and personally, I don't believe that he intended for the art to be destroyed, but it's quite clear that there were many, after he's committed suicide, there were many Nazi fanatics, in particular these Austrians, and one fellow that was from Hitler's his province, that believed that they knew exactly what the intent of the Führer was and placed bombs in the key salt mine holding so many of the Führer's works, intending that they would be detonated and between the rubble and the flooding would destroy these works. So there's no question that works were destroyed and that many others were intended to be.
Robert Edsel and Grant Hesloff are reminding us right now on Travel with Rick Steves of the important work Allied men and women did to locate and rescue the great art of Europe that was stolen by the Nazis in World War II. In Robert's latest book called Saving Italy, he depicts the intrigue between Nazi generals, the Vatican, American operations, and Italian officials, and the heroics of the Monuments Men. Now their stories being portrayed on the big screen. Grant Hesloff and George Clooney have made a major motion picture of the Monuments Men, and they filmed it in Germany.
They tell us that with this many people dying, who cares about art?
They're wrong, because it's exactly what we're fighting for our culture and for our way of life.
Grant, you mentioned Hitler was sort of the arbiter of what is good art and so on. What kind of art did Hitler love and what kind of art did he hate?
He loved art that portrayed the white race. The art that he didn't like was what, you know, they termed the degenerate art. You know, so we're talking about Picasso, Miró, Dalí. I mean, we're talking about some, you know, amazing artists, but they were modern at the time. And some of the art that they stole, particularly in our piece, the Ghent altarpiece, was a piece of art that they felt that was theirs, you know, it had been stolen back and forth.
It belonged to be in Germany.
That really is one of the big pieces of the film. In our film, there are really two, you know, sort of central pieces of art. That is one of them.
That was in Belgium, so he came to Ghent and wanted to take it back to Germany for after the war.
That's exactly right.
Robert?
Yeah, in fact, the Ghent altarpiece has been moved by the Belgians because they knew he was coming for it, and they've tried to get it to the Vatican,
right.
And they've made it as far as southern France when the war breaks out, and they're stuck, and they try and hide it. The Germans know where it is, and within a year or two, they send, on Hitler's orders, a crew to go pick it up and take it back out of the French possession. So, you know, this is an iconic work, one of the great masterpieces of painting in Western civilization, and a work that Hitler felt like, this has Germanic origins, this is our work. It's a way to right the wrongs of World War I and the disgrace of Campania, where the Germans were forced to surrender. One of the other great works that Grant was alluding to was the Bruges Madonna by Michelangelo, the only sculpture of Michelangelo's that in his lifetime left Italy, that was brazenly stolen in the middle of the night by German soldiers dressed in to load these things up in Red Cross trucks and wrap it up in a mattress, where the monuments officers find it in those closing days, still in the same mattress that it was taken in.
And 60 or 70 years later, when a tourist like me goes to Bruges or to Ghent, the first thing I want to see is that Ghent altarpiece, that glorious Ghent altarpiece, where it was designed to be, right there in that beautiful church. And in Bruges, to see that Michelangelo statue, I think the only statue by Michelangelo in the northern part of Europe, right there where it was supposed to be, in that church in Bruges. Thanks to the Monument Men.
We're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line, if the Siegfried line's still there.
There's more with Grant Heslov and Robert Edsel and their work in telling the world the remarkable stories of the Monuments Men in just a moment. Later in the hour, actor Martin Clunes tells us what it's like to film the comedy drama series Doc Martin in a fishing village on the coast of Cornwall. History and drama come together on location today on Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.